Good morning. The Bible reading this morning is Philippians 1, verse 27 through 30. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now herein be mine.
Our theme this month is being the theme from the Philippians, and what we're trying to focus on in this period of time during the Sundays of January are some of the major themes that are developed by Paul in his short epistle to the church at Philippi. Some of the themes that we want to talk about are found in one extended passage in the epistle, while others are developed throughout the epistle. Today's topic is one of the latter type. Throughout the short letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul talks about what it means for the Christian to be with Christ. And there are basically two types of statements relating to this theme that are found in the epistle. One are those statements that Paul makes directly to the Philippians, exhorting them in their Christian service in the matter of their relationship with Christ that they have in the church. The second, which there are more of, are what I would call indirect, and that is Paul makes comments in the course of his letter to the Philippians about his own walk with Christ. And as readers, they could, and we should, I think, apply those principles that are exhibited in Paul's statements about his relationship with Christ to our own lives as Christians and what it means for us to be with Christ. And so, the nature of this lesson this morning is we're going to cover a lot of ground, and we're just going to be pulling pieces of passages out as they relate to this theme of being with Christ. And as I said, we are dividing it really into those two parts. First, we want to look at a number of things that Paul tells the Philippians that it means to be with Christ. And so I would suggest to you the first thing he really tells them in his very introduction of his letter is that being with Christ involves a participation in the gospel. In Philippians 1 and verse 5, he says, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. And most of us know the story of the establishment of the church in Philippi. We know the story of meeting Lydia by the river. We know Paul and Silas being thrown into jail and converting the Philippian jailer. But what we are told here about the church that he left in Philippi after that short stay is that from the very beginning of its existence, they understood that being a Christian, being a part of the Lord's church, meant that you participated in the gospel. That you just were not a receiver of the gospel, but you were also a proclaimer of the gospel, that you received it and you gave it to others as well. And so being with Christ always means that you have the gospel message as a part of your being, and it is something that you share one way or another with others in your lives. Secondly, he says to them in that first chapter that being with Christ requires being filled with the fruit of righteousness. Philippians 1 and verse 11, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Christ Jesus, through Jesus Christ, to the glory and to the praise of God. Now, in other epistles of Paul, particularly in the one to the Galatians, but that is not the only one, Paul has a lot to say more in detail of what is involved with the fruit of righteousness and what those things are. But I think it's sufficient here that what he is telling the Philippians, that part of the matter of being with Christ is that your life does demonstrate the fruits of righteousness that comes through and by that relationship. Becoming a Christian is a change of life, a change of direction of life, and that becomes apparent as one progresses in their lives as a Christian. The fruit becomes apparent. Closely connected to that is the idea that being with Christ involves having a personal conduct that is worthy of the gospel. And thus he exhorts them at the end of the first chapter. He says in verse 27, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. Worthy conduct is exhibited not only for man. Paul says it doesn't matter whether I come and see it for myself or I just hear of it from other people. The point of it is you are conducting yourselves in that way as a sign of your devotion to God. You conduct yourselves in a worthy manner. And Paul mentions what we could call the elements of what it means to have a worthy conduct, conduct that is worthy of the gospel. He says that means you stand firm in one spirit, that you share together as the church at Philippi a strength that comes by standing with God and in accordance to what His Spirit has revealed, and that your own personal spirits are committed to that. That your determination is to do what is right. Secondly, strive with one mind for the faith of the gospel. Have a unity in the church at Philippi that what really matters, and really the only thing that matters, is that we have our faith where it really belongs, and that is in the gospel of Christ. Not in our own selfish desires or not in our willful or even lustful desires, because that can influence and affect the church and cause the church to be what it should not be, or cause individuals in the church to be what they should not be. But to be united together in this common striving to be what the gospel tells us we ought to be. And thirdly, he says, you need to trust God to overcome your spiritual opponents. Every church and every day and age will have those that oppose them. Some very directly in the early days of the church, very often directly in the form of persecution. But if it's not that way, there'll be those that even as Paul warned the Ephesian elders, that some of the trouble with the Ephesian church would arise from within the eldership itself. Those within the church whose priorities and desires are such that they actually hinder the work of the church rather than advancing it. They don't share these common attitudes and these common goals. And so Paul says that if you really want to be with Christ, you need to conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. Another thing he says to them a little bit later on in that chapter is that being with Christ produces a willingness to suffer for His sake. Philippians 1 and verse 29, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. If you are with Christ, you are willing to undergo whatever it is necessary to remain that allegiance to Him and with Him. Fifthly, there is the matter of joy, which is also a theme in the book of Philippians. But we understand that being with Christ creates joy in the heart of the Christian. He says, finally, my brethren, Philippians 3 and verse 1, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. And so he says, your life as Christians, if you are truly with Jesus, it will produce a joy that is demonstrable in your lives. And then finally, being with Christ means that we worship. Philippians 3 and verse 3, for we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and the glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. There are many people in the world that are nominal Christians. And there may be people in the church. We often think of, well, there's lots of people out there that claim to be Christians, but we know they don't believe the gospel. They haven't obeyed the gospel. Well, that's true. But there may be those in the church that are just nominal Christians. And they may show up regularly and meet with us and so forth. But there's a world of difference between that and somebody whose day-to-day life is characterized by their worship and their adoration of the Lord. That He becomes the focus of their life, and they realize how dependent their lives as they have them are upon their relationship with Him. And so if we are going to be with Christ, we have to have developed this dependency upon Him that is expressed through our praise and worship of Him. Now, in addition to these things that Paul says very directly to the Philippians in his epistle, there are these things that Paul says about himself that in the way that he says them and that the things that he is talking about communicate this same idea as what it means to be with Christ. Some of them duplicate and reinforce some of the things that he has said directly to them, and others we look at and see that from them we can understand a little bit more in the example of the Apostle Paul as to what it means to really be with Christ in our lives. The first one is a duplication, because Paul says that being with Christ means you are a participant of the gospel. And Paul exhibited the value of that participation in his own life and makes reference to it at the very beginning of the epistle. Philippians 1 and verse 7, it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. Paul said, you are participants in my life and in my ministry. And we know that about the Philippians, not just from this comment, but by from references Paul made even in other epistles. We know that as Paul continued on that second missionary journey after establishing the church at Philippi, that he makes mention of the fact that the church at Philippi sent to his needs. So they, while being a new young church, they financially helped provide for Paul and support his mission as he went spreading the gospel through the rest of Macedonia and into Achaia. And even as the occasion for this letter that he has sent back to them, we find later on in the epistle that they, while he was imprisoned in Rome, had sent one of their members to him with a gift to help sustain him and provide for him while he was in prison in Rome. And so he says, I have this affection for you because you have been a part of my work and my ministry from the very beginning of this church. And so that certainly reinforces what he told them directly of their need to be participants. And he knew that they were in this as it regards their relationship with him. Paul also realized the importance of the worship of Christ and God, and particularly of the exalting of Christ in one's life. We cannot truly be with Jesus if he does not hold an exalted position in our life. And Paul mentions that in Philippians 1 and verse 20, where he says, "According to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." Paul says, "I want to live my life, and I believe I have lived my life, so that regardless of what happens to me, what happens in the course of my life, that Christ is exalted in the way that I live and in the way that I act." That's something that the Philippians could learn from Paul. They personally had experienced it, seen that in Paul, and I believe he makes reference to it here, and it reinforces to them that that kind of conduct is what allows one to have a true saving relationship with their Lord and their Savior. Thirdly, I think Paul exhibits the idea that the dedication to Jesus is what empowers the believer's life and creates their influence in the life of others. He says to them in Philippians 1 and 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And so he demonstrated that to them, and that empowered his life, but that influenced their lives as children of God. And again, he says to them in Philippians 1 and verse 26, "So that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again." We all exert influence in one way or the other in people's lives. In this day of social media, there's talk about people being influencers. Well, regardless of the sphere of your lives, unless you were a hermit and lived in a cave your entire life with no contact with other human beings, your life influences someone. Because those who see you and can observe you can be affected by what they see and what they do. So that proud confidence, he says, that you have in me is actually in Christ Jesus, because you see Christ Jesus living in me. And that is what empowers my life, and that is what influences your life. In one of the major passages in chapter 3, Paul affirms that being with Christ changes one's perspective about life. In Philippians 3 and verse 7, he says, "But whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith." In order to be with Christ, Paul had to realign his values and change the purpose of his life. In order to be with Christ, Paul was willing to give up all the advantages that he had worked to earn earlier in his life. The advantages of being educated at the feet of one of the recognized Jewish scholars and being elevated at a very young age to leadership in the Jewish community. And he had to turn his back upon that and redirect his life. Paul said, "I demonstrated that I was totally dependent upon the righteousness that's provided by faith in the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross." his desire to be with Christ changed his entire life. It gave him a different focus. He said, "My citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul continues to affirm that as you move through the epistle. And in Philippians 3 and verse 10, he affirms that knowing and being with Jesus is the basis of his life. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and be conformed to his death. That is what gives him purpose and meaning in life. And so as a result of that, Paul's life was a life of determination. Being with Christ means you have to exercise and be determined that that be your life. Philippians 3 and verse 14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. And so as a result of that attitude and that determination to be with Christ, Paul says that he could walk with confidence. He could live his life with confidence. He said, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. We know that Paul had a great affection for the church at Philippi. And in this epistle, he encourages them to pursue a life with Christ. This is a valuable lesson for them, and it's a valuable lesson to us when we appreciate what it means to desire to have a life with Christ. Next week, Alan will pursue a slightly different but related theme because he will talk about how throughout the epistle, Paul encourages the Philippians to be like Christ. Not just be with Christ, but let's be like Christ. And I look forward to Alan's presentation of that next week. Brother Pugh was scheduled here for the dismissal prayer, so I'll go ahead and lead a prayer now, and we will be dismissed to our classes. Holy Father, we praise your great name, and we praise the work that you have accomplished for our salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. We are grateful for his death upon the cross, for the giving of his life blood as the propitiation for our sins. We pray, Father, that we would always appreciate that we would have a desire to live for him and with him and eternally with him, and that will mold and shape our lives. Be with us as we go through the remaining parts of our gathering together on this Lord's Day, that we may be encouraged and edified, built up. Our love for one another would be demonstrated, and our love for you would be expressed in the worship that we offer. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.